Hey, this is Jeremy. Just wanted to hop on before the episode started with a few announcements. We really want to hear from you, and perhaps the best way to do that, we actually have a subreddit now. It's just r/polyphonicpress, and I'll leave a link to it in the show notes. But it's always been my dream to have a community where we can all get together and talk about the albums that we review and just music in general. So if you want to join the community and start the community, really, because it's quite small right now, it's just r/polyphonicpress. And you can always help out the show in various ways. You can check out our Patreon and get these episodes the day before that they go live, and leave a rating and a review on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever you're listening. Those are great ways to get in touch with us as well. That's it. I just wanted to say that. And now on to the episode. Thank you.
Polyphonic Press, the podcast where two music fans pick a classic album completely at random. Using the patented random album generator, they are given an album to review from a curated list of over 1,000 classic releases, spanning multiple genres. And now onto the show. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Boyd and John Van Dyke.
Hey, welcome to Polyphonic Press. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
And let's not waste any time. We've got the patented random album generator right in front of us here. So let's hit the button and see what album we're going to be listening to this week. And the album we're going to be listening to is Burning Spear, Marcus Garvey.
Wow, know nothing about that.
I believe this is a reggae
cool
album. So this is what it says on allmusic.com. It says, Marcus Garvey hit Jamaica like a force 10 gale. Its legacy is so great that in later years, many fans mistakenly came to believe it was Burning Spear's debut album. It wasn't. Two earlier records were released by Studio One. It made an instant hero of Winston Rodney, and the album remains a cornerstone of the entire Roots movement. Spear was accompanied by the Black Disciples, a baker's dozen of the island's best musicians, including bassists Robbie Shakespeare and Aston Barrett, guitarist Earl Chinna Smith and Tony Chin, and drummer Leroy Wallace. The Disciples helped the vocal trio bring their vast potential and musical vision to vinyl, one they'd threatened with previous releases, but never quite attained. Producer Jack Ruby's was equally important to the album's sound, gracing it with a deep roots mix that accentuated the haunting atmospheres of the music. Unfortunately, the listener experienced only wisps of that here. The island subsidiary Mango believed the production too threatening, or at least too commercially inviable for white audiences, and thus remixed it into what they considered a more palatable form. However, Marcus Garvey is so powerful a record that even in this diluted state, it remains a masterpiece. If the music itself defined and glorified the Roots sound, it was Winston Rodney which gave the movement's philosophy voice. Rodney's vocal talent is actually fairly minimal, his delivery more a chant than actual singing, but his intense passion overcame any deficiencies with Rupert Willington and Delroy Hines, dulcet backing vocals counterpointing Rodney's rougher tones. A fervid Rastafarian, Rodney used Marcus Garvey as a shining torch to light the way to political and religious consciousness. The album's twin themes of cultural concerns and religious devotion combined to create a powerfully intertwined message of faith and political radicalism. No one remembers old Marcus Garvey, Spear sings at the beginning of Old Marcus Garvey, but the time the song's over, it's unlikely anyone will forget again. These musical mnemonics of Jamaica's past heroes and history, which include the hit title track, of course, Slavery Days, another Jamaican hit, and The Invasion, are amongst the album's strongest tracks, with the three devotional numbers equally inspiring. Oppression may be the fate of many Jamaicans, both past and present, but by giving voice to those trampled by poverty, slavery, or politics, Spears' underlying message remains one of hope. Okay. Okay, so this album was released on December 12th, 1975. The genre is reggae. It came out on Island Records, and which was produced by Lawrence Lindo. And so the album has... It's not really saying which is on side one, side two, but the album has 10 songs. So we'll go five and five. And if you're listening along with us, which we encourage you to do, I've linked the album in the show notes on both Spotify and Apple Music. So you can easily find it on your preferred service and listen along with us. So the album starts off with the song Marcus Garvey, and side one ends with the song Give Me. So we'll stop there halfway through to discuss. And without further ado, here we go. Here is the first song on the album, which is also the title track, Marcus Garvey. So here we go. Okay, and ending the first side of the album with Give Me. Yeah, I mean, this is really, this is pretty fantastic reggae music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, the everybody's playing really well on it. I mean, it's really well done. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm especially a fan of the first song, the Marcus Garvey self-titled. Yeah, I thought that one came on. I think he put his best song at the very beginning, which is sometimes a little bit of a, you know, a dangerous thing to do. But it really gets the album off on the right foot. I knew I was going to like it the instant that one started up. I thought that was really, really good. The bass line in that one was just, it reminded me. Oh, this is going to be a little blasphemous, but it reminded me of David Lindley a little bit, who obviously was inspired by this. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is, yeah, the bass and the drums are, like, they're just grooving really well together.
Yeah.
All of the songs have a very culturally and political significance to them. I don't know the full story behind the lyrics.
A couple of them were about the slave. One of them is obviously about slavery. And then the one right after it was about when they were being, you know, gathered up in Africa to be slaves. So I understood those ones quite, you know, they seemed a bit, on the nose for that.
Yeah. And I haven't, there, like Marcus Garvey, this guy, he was a Rastafarian priest. And this whole album is sort of, I guess, dedicated to him. Not necessarily all the songs are about him. But he, two of them are, yes. But he was an activist and I just clicked on the profile, so I don't know a whole lot about him, but he was basically, he died in 1940. So this was before Martin Luther King. This was before all of that. He was born, he's from Jamaica. Yeah, he was basically a political activist in Jamaica, and he did some really interesting things from the looks of it. It's fascinating because I don't know about this figure, and he seems to be like a forgotten sort of historical figure, which is just from the looks of it, he seems like a very important person, a very important activist. And it's kind of funny how, like, you know, in history, we don't hear about these people too much. And
he's sort of a little bit off the continent, so you don't hear too much about it. Unfortunately, because, yeah, like, I know nothing about him, but if he's really, like, especially considering that he was doing this stuff in the early 20th century, and I don't know how old he was when he died.
Not that old. He was 52.
Okay, that's not that old. So, yeah, it would have been early 20th century he was doing his activism, and, you know, a lot of stuff. We know about the stuff that happened in the 60s and 70s for the most part, and there's lots of activism going on our continent. Although, you know, Jamaica is, it's an island off the coast of our continent, but we don't hear a lot about what goes on there. We know reggae came from there, and that's kind of it.
Yeah, and we don't really know a whole lot about the Caribbean in general. Really, you know, I will say, though, for such a small island, and I think I touched on this on the, when we did the Bob Marley album, for such a small island to have this significant of an impact on music in the 70s was, like, obviously Bob Marley's the biggest reggae, best known reggae artist. There's no question about that. But it's weird that this small island in the Caribbean has had such a cultural impact on music in the 70s. And I think a lot of it was music was becoming more political, and people were picking up on it. But musically, like, influenced a lot of the punk guys in England picked up on. And the reason for that is interesting. I was watching an interview with Stuart Copeland, and he was talking about like in the punk clubs, like between bands, you sort of there comes a point where you want to have some chill music, but you can't really play punk because punk by definition is not chill music. So what they started doing is they started playing dub music, which still has the spirit of punk, but it sounds,
it's very
more laid back, more chill. And so that's
definitely got a lot. I mean, it's basically reggae with a little bit more of a club feel to it.
Yeah. And they actually, they did the following year, they did release, Burning Spear did release a dub version of this album.
Oh, wow.
Which is really interesting, and I want to hear that too, because all the songs have a dub version.
That's kind of cool. Yeah, I kind of want to hear that too.
So yeah, so that's the influence. That's sort of how, like, dub and reggae have had this influence on, like, punk music. Because I never understood the connection, and that's sort of how you get, like, the ska punk movement of bands like the English Beat and stuff like that. So I really never really understood, like, what's the connection there? Like, what?
Well, it's part of the story, because there was a huge influx of Jamaican immigrants into England at the time.
Yeah.
And many of them were musicians. And they would hang out in the pub, punk clubs and whatever, and start up bands. And that's when you get, you know, artists like the Specials and, or, you know, mixed race band, and that's where ska, at least in the English sense, British sense, got its origins, is definitely out of the punk scene and stuff like that. So,
yeah, it's fascinating that and I think this album in particular had such a huge influence, and this album, like I was saying, the playing on it is great. The lyrics, like you said, the lyrics are a little on the nose, but I think they have to be.
No, that wasn't a disparaging remark at all.
No, I think they have to be, because just to say this is what this song is about, because it's important. I have something I need to say. I'm not going to hide it in metaphor. I need to say it how it is. Yeah. So I guess I'm... I'm very eager to hear the second side of the album. So let's get to it. This is the first song on the second side, called Old Marcus Garvey. So here we go. All right, and ending the album with Resting Place. Yeah, this is a really good album. Just really like more. I don't know really what else to say about it. It's just, I just love this album.
Yeah, it's really good. I'm especially fond when it decides to change gear at the Jordan River. When it start off, it's like, oh boy, this one's going to be a really good one too. I really like it when they mix it up a little bit. Sometimes it gets a little bit monotonous, but this is, again, this goes back to the old call and response blues tradition. So it's born out of that. So there's a reason behind it. So, but when it does, you know, change gears a little bit, it's really fantastic. Yeah, I really like that, the Jordan River song.
Jordan River, that was probably my favorite song on the album too. Yeah, there isn't a bad song on here at all. I mean, this is, but yeah, you're right. It can often feel like a lot of the same, and it is the style of music too. It often has the same rhythms and the same like chord structures and same beats, and like reggae is a very specific genre, and there isn't a whole lot of variation within it, and so it can get a little tedious sometimes because it's a lot of the same kind of stuff. I don't think it's very interesting music, but I think it's a lot like you were saying, like blues or folk, where the music itself sort of takes a back seat and the lyrics are sort of the more important thing. And that's sort of the more of the focus. But I mean, like it is interesting how, like, I thought I had heard somewhere that it was because the sound systems were so bad that they could only hear the bass, but I don't know where I heard that from. And that's how the sort of style was developed. It was very bass heavy. I don't know if that's true, and I don't know where I heard that. But I just think it's a mix of like having like the a lot of like especially in the Caribbean, like a lot of Latin influence mixed with African and a lot of a lot of American music too. Sort of the mix of the three sort of kind of coming together.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. You can hear little bits of like pop hits and stuff like that. But yeah, there's definitely sort of a Latin take on like a blues tradition, sort of. It's definitely related to the blues, but it's far enough removed. It's obviously its own genre. It's a lot closer related to ska and dub and stuff like that, because they were born out. Well, actually, reggae came out of ska. Ska is older than reggae. Yeah. But I'm no expert on the scene and the music and whatever. But I do know that they used to put great big sound systems. And they would compete as to who had the biggest sound system, sort of basically blow the eardrums off the neighborhood. And they also had a competition as to who can get the latest record, who can get the rarest record, who can get whatever, just, you know, typical audiophile stuff. So the Jamaican audiophiles just took their competitions public.
Yes. Yeah, they did. Yeah. And I think, yeah, it's, and there must have been just a big, Yeah, just I think music is just a big part of the culture there, and I think they're just pulling. Yeah, you're right. It is based on ska, and ska started sort of in the 50s, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
50s, at least in the 60s for sure. So
yeah, and reggae was sort of born out of that. A lot of the same rhythms and stuff. And so yeah, I mean it's really. It is fascinating seeing the through line of everything. But yeah, I mean, like the musicians are fantastic on here.
Very tight.
Yeah. The bass and the drums are just locked in so tight with each other. It's that's just really laying the foundation, and then everything else is kind of going on top, but the bass and the drums are just like, laying it down and just really just pushing it forward.
Yeah.
I think I know the answer, but I got to ask, would you listen to this again?
Oh yeah. I'd listen to this again. Some of it more than others, but yes, absolutely. I would listen to this again.
Yeah, me too. I really enjoyed listening to this. I mean, I wish I knew more about reggae and the history to comment on it, but, yeah, I mean, this is just because I think us in North America, Canada, U.S., we don't really know much reggae outside of Bob Marley. So to hear something new or something else, and I can hear this doesn't sound anything like Bob Marley.
No.
So it's like it's sort of hearing the differences with like it's sort of like hearing Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath, two similar bands. But you can hear the differences.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a little bit more reminiscent of Toots and the Maytals, but not quite. There's a certain sophistication with Toots and the Maytals that I really, really like them. I think they're really fantastic. They're probably my favorite reggae group. I somehow didn't come across Burning Spear before, but I'm glad I did this time. It's good to expand your knowledge on a genre that I've really only just started to touch upon.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, this is really fantastic stuff. So anyway, I guess we'll end the episode there. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. If you enjoyed the episode and you want to support us, you can do that in a few ways. You can subscribe and follow the show wherever you get your podcasts. And you can just rate and review and leave us a review wherever you're listening, whether it's on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you're on. Share the episode with on social media, your family, friends, whoever you think would be interested in. And you can also support us on Patreon. There's lots of cool stuff there. And check, we want to hear from you whether you agree or disagree with the album, our album review. You can do that by going to the contact page at our website, polyphonicpress.com. And lots of cool stuff there you can check out. And I think that just about does it. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
I'm John Van Dyke.
Take it easy.